A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what Jesus had done began to believe in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees convened the Sanhedrin and said, "What are we going to do? This man is performing many signs. If we leave him alone, all will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our land and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing, nor do you consider that it is better for you that one man should die instead of the people, so that the whole nation may not perish." He did not say this on his own, but since he was high priest for that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not only for the nation, but also to gather into one the dispersed children of God. So from that day on, they planned to kill him. So Jesus no longer walked about in public among the Jews, but he left for the region near the desert, to a town called Ephraim. And there he remained with his disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before Passover to purify themselves. They looked for Jesus and said to one another as they were in the temple area, "What do you think? That he will not come to the feast?" The Gospel of the Lord. Scapegoating is as old as time itself. Putting the blame for a problem on someone else instead of looking deep within ourselves. We see it in our families, on the political scene, and in international relations. It's easier to play the blame game than to take responsibility of digging a little deeper to the root of the problem. Here in today's gospel, we see the powers that be say, "If we leave him alone, all will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away our land and our nation." Can you imagine blaming Jesus for the ruin of a country? But from that moment on, there was a bounty on Jesus' head. He became the scapegoat to supposedly prevent the Roman attack on his countrymen. This was later deemed ironic by the early Christians, because after Jesus' death, the Jerusalem temple fell to the Romans anyway. Political fear often ruins reputations or claims innocent life. Throughout political history, we can see when fear ruled the landscape. And we don't have to look back too many years either. McCarthyism and its fear of communism, fear run rampant during the civil rights years, homophobic fear, and fear of immigrants, to name a few. The personal fear quickly becomes a political fear, and it eventually is just too overwhelming, seemingly beyond our reach to solve. But it can be different when we start small, on a more personal grassroots level. Jesus' scapegoat was blamed for a lot of things, most notably breaking Sabbath laws and calling God his father, deemed blasphemous by many. However, he turned the tables on people and often got to the root of the problem, whether it was the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, the promiscuity of the Samaritan woman, or the promiscuity of the men who wanted to stone such a woman. Recently, with the passage of the health insurance reform bill, President Obama said in a victory speech, "We don't fear the future. We shape the future." He was talking about casting out fear and getting to the root of the problem. Not pulling the roots out, not killing the roots, but giving them some attention. As we enter Holy Week, our traditional time for self-reflection, we can ask ourselves how we are part of the problem. And can we be part of the solution? What is it that you fear? And who is the scapegoat?